you have your Bibles, if you have the Bible, we're going to turn to Acts chapter 17. The book of Acts in chapter 17. I want to speak from verse 16 and following on, but it says in verse 16, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. What we have here is Paul waiting at Athens. Waiting at Athens. Let's look to the Lord for his help. Father in heaven, we pray that be with us around thy word. We certainly pray for help, Lord. We thank you for that hymn we've been singing. Make me a channel of blessing today. I pray that will make me, Lord, a channel of blessing to the congregation through the word you've laid upon my heart. Pray be a word in season to each and every one of us. If our hearts would be touched by the word of God. Nothing like hearing the word of God. Come on, Lord, not from me, but from thyself. And we pray thou wilt speak and minister to all of us in this place. Make us all a channel of blessing today. Pour out, Lord, thy spirit upon us now around thy word. In Jesus' name. Amen. The Apostle Paul, as we know, was a man who stood head and shoulders above all the other servants of the Lord in the New Testament. His work, his love for Christ was really second to none. The book of Philemon in chapter 1 in verse 1, he talks about his life and he summed it up like this. He says, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. What tremendous words came here from the lips of the Apostle Paul. He says, what am I in this world? I tell you what I am, he says. I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I'm captured to his will. I'm captured to his love. I'm captured to his heart. I'm really captured to his work and to his will in my life. I'm just really a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I give my whole self to the Lord Jesus. And the wonder child of God, have you ever come to that place where you can say, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He holds me in the chains of love. Everything I give to Christ, my family, my possessions, my everything, I place under his lock and key in a sense. I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He had great success in his labors, of course, for Christ. Multitudes were saved, churches were built. In a sense, the world was turned upside down by the ministry of this man. A lot can be learned by looking at the life of the Apostle Paul. Four occasions in the Bible, he sets himself up as an example for God's people to follow. One such instance, 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 16, he says, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. And think of this, Apostle Paul standing up before the church and says, listen, be followers of me. As I live, you live. As I say, you do. I want you to follow me. The word follower means imitator. Whatever I do, you do. And in other words, I will be your example. Be a follower of me. Would any one of us here in this congregation would like to go up to the congregation and say, well, listen, everyone, be a follower of me. Would you like everybody to follow you, child of God, how you're living the Christian life? Do you like every other Christian in this place to be the same person in prayer as you are? Reading the Bible, love for Christ, service for Christ. I don't think anybody, including myself, and I'm up in the pulpit here this morning, would like to stand up in the congregation and say, well, listen here, be ye followers of me. Be followers of me. You'd be very foolish if that be the case. But he was that sort of man, you see. A man in tune with God. A man who loved Christ. A prisoner of Jesus Christ. And you can follow this man. And what an example he was even in the place of prayer. He was one who prayed daily for the people of God. And for the work and for the cause of Jesus Christ. In Philippians 1 and verse 4, one instance he said, always in every prayer of mine for you, oh, making a request with joy. Here's a man writing to the church, and he reminds this church, I'm always praying for you. I'm praying for you. In every prayer of mine, I'm making a request. I'm making a request with joy to the God of heaven. I'm praying for you. He's a tremendous example how to pray. We need examples how to pray. I need to be taught how to pray. Child of God in this meeting, you need to be taught how to pray on the Lord. Read the prayers of the Apostle Paul and he'll teach you. Many prayers of his is found here in God's Word. Read the prayers. How to be contented in this life? Well, he's really our example as well. Because in Philippians 4, verse 11 and 12, he says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therefore to be content. He was always contented. Whether he abounded in much, or were he very little, it didn't really matter to this man of God. He was not held by the silver or the possessions of this world. He had Christ in his heart. Christ was his life. Christ was his first love. It didn't really matter if he was cast down into prison, which he was when he wrote this letter to the Philippians. It didn't matter. Where Jesus was, it's heaven there. And he had Christ with him in that cell. And you know, he was contented. Oh, that you and I would be such a contented person. Not yearning, complaining and moaning. When you read the book of Numbers, and you'll read there about the children of Israel murmuring and complaining every step of the way against the servant of the Lord Moses, that you and I would learn to be contented. We thank God for all we have. If of anything at all, we thank the Lord for us. You can learn all these things looking at the life of the Apostle Paul, but you can look at how he served the Lord. To man's an example of this man's zeal and love for the cause of Jesus Christ. And you can read through here in the book of Acts how he visited different cities. He had to flee, of course. People were persecuted. Didn't like the message that he was preaching. And therefore we find him, he had to flee in a sense here to Athens. He comes here to Athens. And this was no doubt a famous city, known for its beauty and knowledge. Look at verse 18. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him. It was really a city full of knowledge. The philosophers, there were people always learning and really seeking to learn in this city. And we find the Apostle Paul in this city, coming to this city. If I said he had to come in this city, he had to run to this city. He was being persecuted. He was being hounded by the enemies of Jesus Christ. But we find that why Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Here he is in the midst of a wicked and a sinful place, people. And yet we find him serving the Lord while he waited for the lame at Athens, which was Timothy's and Silas to come to him. And I want us to learn some lessons from Paul here while he waited at Athens. I want you to notice, first of all, Paul's passion in the ministry. It tells us here in verse 16, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. And here's a man, you see, and he served the Lord with his heart. Here's a man that is alive for the things of God. It tells us here, his spirit was stirred within him. His heart is stirred. This word stirred is only translated one other time in the Bible. In 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, is not easy. Provoked. Now what a sight came before the eyes of the Apostle Paul. What did he see there in the city of Athens that stirred him? What did he see with his eyes? What came into the heart of this man of God? He saw a people that were wholly given to idolatry. There were idols all around the place. People were falling down before images. People had false gods in their life. And the Apostle Paul, his heart was stirred when he saw the whole city given to idolatry. Writers would tell us that this city was full of idols. They were placed on every street. There were temples erected for people to come in to worship them. One writer said that they had an idol 45 foot high in the city so that all could see it. There were gods in every street and in every place. And when Apostle Paul, this man of God, this man who was a prisoner of Jesus Christ, who had a love for souls of people, when he saw what was happening in this city, his whole heart was stirred within him. He saw the city given to idolatry. As Dr. Gill said of this city, that one person said they could easily find a God, more easily find a God, than a man. And that showed you the extent of the idolatry in this city. It says there they were given to idolatry. Their whole life was given to idols. Their whole heart was given to idols. Their whole devotion, everything about them, the mothers, the fathers, and their children, as his eyes fell upon this people while he waited here at Athens, he saw the city given completely over to idolatry. He did not like what he saw. He knew the honor, the praise, the worship, the love from this people's heart should be given to the God of heaven. And he was not pleased when he saw the city given to idolatry. It was stirred because of the sin of the people. His heart also was stirred because of the souls of men. And I believe the Apostle Paul had a real burden, and there's other passages in the Bible to show us that, but he had a real burden for the lost. He saw this false worship. He saw the false idols. He saw the people were deceived. He saw that this multitude of people here in this tremendous city of Athens, that they were blinded by the God of this world, and they were lost, and they were lost in their sin, and they were going to be lost for all eternity. And he was stirred. The Bible tells us here that his spirit was stirred in him. His spirit was stirred. Paul had a passion for God. Paul had a passion for the work of God. He had a passion for the souls of men. His heart was stirred within him. So I think of Jesus Christ. I think of the heart of Christ. The Bible tells us in Matthew 9 and verse 36, when he saw the multitudes, Christ, the Son of God, when his eye fell upon the multitudes, it says he was moved with compassion on them. Because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Paul had the same heart here as the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ saw this people, the multitude of people before him, men and women and boys and girls, and they were lost. And there were sheep who had no shepherd. And his heart was stirred within him. And what I'm saying to you here from a first point, Paul at Athens, he had a heart for souls. He had a heart for the things of God and for the truth of God. And then he says in Romans 9 and verse 2, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow. Where was this? Where? In my heart. Paul's passion here in the work of the Lord, his spirit was stirred in him. And what a sight befalls our eyes as we look over our own problems, over our land. There are people there deep in sin. There are people today and they're given to idolatry. There are people today and they are full of superstition. And I saw that myself in Newcastle. And people were telling me about my house is full of pictures. When I talked of Christ, one lady said to me, "Oh, Christ," said, he's in every room of my house. Pictures everywhere. And a Catholic woman suggested I get this prayer, and if I pray this prayer I'll get everything I want. And she wanted to get me a copy of this prayer, but I wouldn't take it off her. And yet she took all of me, by the way, all my tracts and so on. But I said, no good me taking that, or I wouldn't pray it. And my people would show me little Saint Martin, whatever it was. This is their hope. I found out the other day, he says, well, he talked about his higher power. He had a little idol or something, and you know where it was in his back pocket. Now, that is only down the road in Newcastle, and I have no doubt it has taken place here in the very town of Kilkeel. There are people, and they're given over to idolatry. They have images, so-called saints, and all of these things, and they're praying to them, and they're given over to idolatry. And I ask you and I, are we provoked? Are we stirred up? Even with jealousy, God should receive, Christ should receive all the honor and the praise. People should be seeking Christ for salvation. They should be praying to Christ. They should bring in all their needs to the Lord Jesus. But they're praying to all these sins. Of course, it is wrong. But does it really affect our heart if there's people lost? People in their sin? Are we concerned, like Paul, is our spirit stirred with us? Is there any life in us for the work of God, for the cause of Jesus Christ? There should be. It says of Christ in Luke 19, and verse 41, when he was come near, that was talking about the city of Jerusalem. He beheld the city and he wept over it. Do you see the blessed Son of God? There he is, looking over Jerusalem, and he's stirred. His heart goes out to this people. The Bible says when he beheld the city, he wept over it. He was moved for it. Oh, that God would do the same for us. The Apostle Paul had a passion. He had a concern for the truth of God and for the souls of men and women. His spirit was stirred within him. Child of God, may we just, Lord, deliver us from just going through the motions. Just going through. It is very easy just to fall into time and just tiddle along in the Christian life. But may we serve him with passion. May there be a stirring in our hearts. Maybe, child of God, you can recall days when you were stirred for the cause of Jesus Christ. You were stirred within your soul for the souls of men and women who are lost without Christ. But today it's different. You've settled down in your lees, in a sense. Very easy to come to that position. But oh, that would be like the Apostle Paul, his passion. His spirit was stirred within him. Lord, you pray today, make me a channel of blessing today. Stir up my heart for those who's lost. Roman Catholics, Protestants, whatever the case may be, they need Christ. And Paul here down at Athens, it tells us about his passion, but it tells us about his preaching as well down at Athens. And he preached on many subjects, it was the scope of his preaching. Many things came from his lips. Of course, he preached against our sin. He didn't have no back doors really in his preaching. Look at verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that all things are too superstitious. I saw," he even tells about, "I saw an altar," in verse 23, "to the all-known God. I perceive you're far too superstitious. You're worshiping idols. You have an idol here to the all-known God. I want to tell you," and you can go right down through that sermon. He tells them God is the creator of the world. He tells them in verse 30 to repent. He tells them in verse 31 about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He tells them about the day of judgment. There is the Apostle Paul. Where is he? He's down in Athens and he's preaching. He's standing up for Christ. He's standing up for the truth of God. And many subjects is coming out of his lips. He's preaching the word of God and he's bringing the word of God before this people. But not only the scope of his preaching, but what about the subject of his preaching? Verse 18, it says at the end of that verse, "because he preached unto them Jesus." Jesus and the resurrection. Here's the great central theme of this man's preaching to this people who are in darkness. Remember, they are in darkness. Remember, they were in their sin. Remember, here's a people and they're bowed down before idols. They're given completely over to idolatry. And the Apostle Paul has just a message for this people, and he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And I have no doubt what he preached. If you call it before you preach about the resurrection, you had to preach about the death of Christ. He had to tell them who Jesus Christ was, or who he is. He is the Son of God, God the Son, who came down into this world, and he went to the cross, and he shed his precious blood, and he put away our sin by the sacrifice of himself. And I'm saying to you, men of Athens, there's only one Savior. God sent him into this world. He died upon the cross. He shed his blood. He can wash away all your sin. He can give you everlasting life. And there he is, and it tells us he's preaching Jesus and the resurrection. He's preaching Christ unto this people. Oh, they mocked him, the Bible tells us. But that did not hinder the Apostle Paul. His sermons, his preaching, his words was full of Christ. That's what they needed to hear. About Christ the Savior. You know, you are a very privileged congregation here in Kilkeel. For some of you have been brought up with this teaching. And you've been told about the love of Christ. And you've been told about the death of Christ. And you've been told about how he can save you and take you to heaven. But you're not saved. Now here are people, and probably for the first time, there's a gospel preacher in the very city of Athens. It is no doubt the Apostle Paul, and he's preaching the word to this congregation. Preaching to the people about Jesus Christ. His messages here are full of Christ. Christ is coming from his lips. That's the message they need to hear. The unconverted in this meeting, you need to be saved. You need Christ Jesus to take away your sin. Or you're lost. And Paul is preaching this message. See, it's Spurgeon said, the best sermons are sermons which are fullest of Christ. A sermon without Christ is an awful and a horrible thing. It is an empty well, it is a cloud without rain, it is a tree twice dead, plucked up by the roots. A sermon without Christ is as well talk as a loaf of bread without any flour in it. How can it feed the soul? Man die and perish because Christ is not there. He's saying, let your sermons, your messages, be full of Christ. Here is Paul at Athens, and his words, his message, his preaching. As I said, he preached in certain things, but it was full of Christ. Christ Jesus is the Savior. He came into the world. He can save your soul. He can give you everlasting life. His blood can wash away all your sin in a moment. Only trust Him. Only trust Him. Only trust Him now. That's the message he preached here at Athens. And I said, dude, that's the message this denomination preaches. It's one that's sounded out from this pulpit. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thyself will save. Not a simple biblical message. I asked you this morning in the congregation, have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Have you come to Him? Have you put your faith and trust in Him who is the Lamb of God? Have you turned away from your sin? Repent and believe the gospel is the message of the Scripture. You give your whole life to Christ. And if not, why not? Why are you not saved? Why do you not want Christ Jesus to be your Savior and to save your soul from a lost eternity? Paul at Athens, we find him preaching. Paul's preaching at Athens. But I want you to notice another lesson at Athens. Paul's program at Athens, because it tells us here in verse 17, therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. And then certain philosophers and Epicureans and the Stoics accounted him, and some said, what will this babbler say? But what he wrote about his program was this: he went out with the gospel. Because we find him here at Athens, and we find him, he's gone into the synagogues. And then we find him there, tells us, he's in the marketplaces. This was his program here in Athens. And look how he spoke to them. It says, disputed. To say, thoroughly, that word means to discuss or to reason. And really, in a sense, he's meeting these philosophers, all these learned men, and he's trying to reason, a bit of sense into them. He knew all about their life. He knew all about their sin. He knew all about their idolatry. But the Apostle Paul, he's gone into the synagogues, he's gone into the marketplaces, and he's disputing with these people. He's gone out with the gospel. He's talking to them. And what do you think about this program of Apostle Paul at Athens? His program was scriptural. He was only following the example and the instruction of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus said in Mark 16, verse 15, go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That is the great commission of Jesus Christ, the command of Christ to the church, which is still alive and well to this day, and even to this church and to this congregation. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And when the Apostle Paul went into the synagogues and into the marketplaces and he talked to people, his program was scriptural. He was only doing what the Bible said. Only doing what the Word of God says. And you and I have to do the same. You bring the gospel out to me. If you're going to wait on people coming in, you'll wait a long time. We've got to go out. And I thank God for that opportunity, even in Newcastle in the mission. The people certainly didn't come in, but they've been the doors of people, up some opportunities talking to people about Christ and the way of salvation, and giving little booklets and so on. We thank the Lord for it. That is God's program. Wherever it may be, the streets, people's homes, wherever it may be, bringing out the gospel to people. His program was practical as well, because he had not far to go to reach sinners. No matter where he went, they were all around him. If you think of it, if he went to the synagogue, they were there. If he went to the marketplace, they were there. If he went on the street, he was always surrounded with them. He hadn't very far to go to find those who were lost and without Christ, no matter where he went to. And so his program was very practical. The sinners were all around him, and all he had to do was speak. That's all he had to do. And why he did dispute with him, I want to say this. He did it gracefully. He did it gracefully. Matthew Henry said of Paul's ministry here at Athens at this time, he did not in the heat of a zeal break into the temples, pull down their images, demolish their altars, or fly in the face of their priests, nor did he run about the streets crying, "You're all born slaves of the devil," though it was true. All those things was true. But he didn't do it that way. He did it gracefully. We're not to fly through the streets and call people this and call them that and do this and that. Maybe we'll feel like it sometimes, but I tell you this, that's not how the work of God is done. A meek and quiet and gentle spirit with a concern for the souls of people. That's how the Apostle Paul did it here in the Athens. And quietly he went out to those people, and he went out daily as well, because in the market, daily with them, out one day, and he sowed the seed and talked to people. Well, he was back the next day, and the next day, I'm not sure how long he was staying here in the city of Athens, but I tell you this, he went out daily. His program was practical, going out with the gospel. You and I by the same spirit. May we always go out with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and bring the gospel to people. His program was beneficial. Tells me verse 34, that where people believed and people were saved, you see. You see, a man whose heart is stirred will serve the Lord. He was going out with the gospel of Jesus Christ here. He could have made excuses. He could have said, you know, well, I'll just wait for some other time or whatever. But the Apostle Paul was a man who went out with the gospel. Out in different places. You and I do the same. Bring the gospel to the lost. Of course, we don't have far to go, because we're always surrounded by those who need the good news of the gospel of Christ. On the streets, marketplaces, whatever the case may be. Philippians 2 and verse 15, Paul reminds that church that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. And he tells them, whether you're in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation. And child of God, maybe you said, I'm walking among a perverse and crooked people. Well, that's the place the Lord wants you. Or university, that's what you're surrounded with. Or school, whatever the case may be, on the streets, your home place, wherever the case may be, we're surrounded with people who are lost without Jesus Christ. And so it is very practical for us to reach them with the gospel. We just had to speak a word. We just had to give them a track. We just had to give a word for the Lord Jesus Christ. He can save your soul. He can give you everlasting life. Just speak the word for Jesus. The Lord has not asked you to do some great thing, but you can be a witness for him. And the people will look in your workplace, child of God, and see that you belong to Christ. This is Paul's program at the city of Athens. Very practical. And we do know, of course, that our labours for Christ are beneficial as well, because souls will be saved in God's time. I would love to see people saved in Newcastle now. I would love to see all Newcastle saved. But it's not the will of God at the moment. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. And that's a tremendous verse, child of God, for every one of us. Your labour is not in vain in the Lord. We've got to keep at the work of God. We've got to keep going out with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've got to keep on preaching the good news to those who are lost and who are in their sin. Oh, never lose heart in the work of God. God will save his people in his own time. The Spurgeon says, if sinners will be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our bodies. And if they perish, let them perish with their arms about their knees, imploring them to stay. And that's tremendous words from Spurgeon, the man of God. If people want to go to hell, let them leap over our bodies, because we're going to try to stop them. Let them march on us, holding on to their knees in a sense, imploring them to stay. Turn thee from your sin and come to Jesus Christ. Oh, that you and I would have that same love for those who are lost. that we and I had the same program, imploring people to stay. Don't go on in your sin. I said to the unsaved here this morning in the service, we're imploring you to stay. We don't want to see you ruined. Maybe some children here, your parents are saved and you're not saved, young boy and girl, young man or woman. Your mom and dad doesn't want you to be lost. I want you all in heaven. I want household salvation. I'm imploring you to stay. But you're marching on and you're rebelling in your heart and you're hard in your heart and you're going on in sin and you can find yourself lost for all eternity. How foolish. How foolish would be such an action of anyone in the congregation, anybody in the world, brought up in the gospel going on. We are imploring you to stay, to come to Christ. And so Paul's program here, as it was at Ephesus, can I say last year very quickly, Paul's principle in the work. And what was his principle? Let me say this. It's found in verse 16. And while Paul waited for them at Athens, now he was waiting for Timothy and Silas, but I want you to notice the word, he was waiting at Athens. He was just waiting on Timothy and Silas to come to him. And while he was waiting at Athens, this is what he sat to do while he was waiting on people coming to him. His motto here was like the Lord Jesus Christ, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man could work. And while he waited, he served. He's only waiting. He could have made excuses. He could have said, well, I'm all alone. Though some people maybe have brought him to that place. I will say nothing to Timothy and Silas comes. Or maybe he says, well, the point of saying anything, this whole city is given over to idolatry. He didn't say, you know, I've been working hard lately. I've just been in Philippi, Thessalonia, and Bera. I've been working very hard. I just deserve a little break. But while he waited, he still served the Lord. As Wesley said that tremendous words, his only righteousness I show, his saving truth proclaim. 'Tis all my business here below to cry, behold the Lamb. Happy if with my latest breath I may but grasp his name, preach him to all and cry in death. Behold the Lamb. And there's Wesley talking about his time coming to the end. He said it would have been a wonderful thing to come when I'm coming to die, to sit on his deathbed, and he's crying out to people, behold the Lamb. Paul's principle was this, he made every moment count, redeeming the time because the days was evil. You and I would serve the Lord in the same manner. What would you and I have done while we waited at Athens? And what would I do? I put myself, we'll probably do a bit of sightseeing. And we'll probably take a wee bit of sun because we don't get too much of it in this country. And you're probably right there, well, take your time. Don't be rushing. I'm alright. The grub's good. The hotel's good. The weather's good. The sightseeing's good. Don't be worrying, I'm taking no hurt here. And often, alright. But while he was waiting, he still had a love for souls of people. That was his principle. Making every moment count for God. While he waited, this is what he did when I said to you in the first points. And him says, I have only one life on this earth. This vapor is passing away. I must labor for treasures of worth. Our toil ends at the close of the day. Only one life to live. I could never withhold it from God. Only one life to live. I must not miss the well done of God. While he waited, he served the Lord. That you and I would be such a spirit, such a heart, such a love for Christ, for the work of God, for the souls of men and women. While we wait, and there's times you do wait, times we're in the dentist, or the doctors, or on a bus stop, or on a bus, and there's times we're all in those positions sometimes, and you know, sometimes we get opportunities, sometimes we get them. Opportunity to speak a word to people about Christ. Tell them about the one who can save them and give them everlasting life. And all that you and I with such a heart and will serve the Lord, child of God, like Paul. Because while he waited, His whole heart would stir within him, and he proclaimed the message of the gospel that people might be saved and might come to the knowledge of the truth. And that's what we're still doing in Newcastle. That's what we do in this congregation, Reverend Patterson and other preachers in our church. We're serving the Lord that people might hear the good news, and people like you all converted in this meeting, that you might be saved and you'll come to Jesus Christ. May the Lord write His word upon our hearts. We're going to sing a couple of verses in closing. 526, a tremendous hymn. I've quoted it there in the last verse sermon. The first and last verse. I have only one life on this earth, and this fair verse passing away. I want you to think, child of God, of these words to your own heart and say, well, I give myself to Christ. Only one life, and the years are flying past us, and it's good to give that life to Christ. The first and last verse, 526. Thank you for your presence and for your help. We pray your message has been a challenge to all of us. May it be something to spur the Apostle Paul, that our hearts will be stirred within us. And Lord, we did all of this while He just waited. May we make every moment count. Our life will soon be over. We've been singing about that. I must not miss the well done of God. May all your people rededicate themselves to Thy cause and to this work here, even Lord, in Kikil, that has called us all to. We pray You'll set us on fire for Thee. You pour out Your Spirit upon us. You pray for those who's unconverted, that, Lord, they will be saved, and they will come to put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ this day. And now we pray the blessing, the triune God, rest, remain, abide upon each and every one of us, and bring us safely home, and bring us back again tonight here, Lord, to Thy house to worship Thee. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.